Excellent. So previously on ER, previously at CCC, we've talked about knowing God through Jesus Christ, through his word, and by experience and observation. And we've talked about growing in our relationship with God through the study of his word and through praying, as was talked about last week by Tim Frace. Next Sunday, if you can believe it, we're beginning, it's First Advent. Next Sunday. So we'll begin our Christmas teaching series then. But this morning we're going to talk about worship. But not worship as a public form, though it is abundantly clear from the scriptures that Jesus, for instance, was accustomed to meeting regularly with others in the synagogue, church for him. That worship is an answer to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. That worship is also then an act of unity relating to that prayer. That it was the habit of the early church to meet for teaching and prayer and fellowship, as is outlined in Acts chapter 2. And that we are encouraged to gather regularly for worship, not giving up meeting with each other. And I love how the Hebrews writer puts this, as some are in the habit of doing. But all the more, to meet together, why? To encourage one another. So I hope you're encouraged by Elsie's story. I hope you're encouraged by the prayer that we pray together. And I hope you're encouraged by what we have yet to learn together this morning, which is going to be rather not public, but private worship. That'll be our topic of discussion as a spiritual discipline, not unlike actually reading the Bible and prayer. Let's begin by reminding ourselves of what worship is. Worship, in the plainest speak possible, is giving worth to someone or something. Or, as I like to remember it, ascribing worth. Worship is ascribing worth. Okay? Jesus said that God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, because God is spirit, we can worship him actually anytime and anywhere. He's not confined to a day of the week or a building where we might meet. Because God is spirit, worship is along those same lines actually. From my spirit, my inner being, towards God who is spirit himself. He's not a boy deity, he's not a girl deity. His spirit is God. Because God is spirit, the integrity of worship isn't external or ritual or for the notice of others. It's for him who is unseen. As this story illustrates, deeply immersed in meditation during a church service, Italian poet Dante Alighieri failed to kneel at the appropriate moment. Tisk, tisk, tisk. His enemies hurried to the bishop and demanded that Dante be punished for this crazy sacrilege. Dante defended himself by saying, "If those who accuse me had had their eyes and minds on God as I had, they too would have failed to notice events around them, and they most certainly would not have noticed what I was doing, because it wouldn't matter, because their worship would be focused appropriately on God, not on the externals or ritual or religion or those pieces. Because worship is from our spirit to him who is spirit. And it must also be rooted in the truth." So spirit and truth. It must be genuine. It must be sincere. And it must be, above all, aligned with what God's word says. Especially with what God's word says about God. How then, and this is our question for the morning, how then do we ascribe worth to God? So 4 points I'm going to make this morning really briefly. First of them is this. We ascribe worth to God through praise. Praise, and I'm borrowing this from an author, is the exuberant and enthusiastic expression of our love and adoration for God. Now, it might be something like we see in King David. It might be a prayer. For instance, in Psalm 103, where it reads, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise might come spontaneously from our lips, and it might, where am I? Where have I gone? Yeah, like, praise the Lord, oh my soul, and then fill in the blank for yourself, right? Praise the Lord, oh my soul, for all those benefits. Specific now, what is it in your life that you're grateful for? For the God who saved me. For the God who gives me life every day. For my grandchildren. For my children. Whatever it is, right? Praise him for all that is good in your life. On Monday morning, I went out for my prayer walk, I like to call it, which is that 4K circuit. You'll see me, and it's fun. It's good. You scare me with your beeping horns. It's fantastic. And Monday morning, I don't know, maybe it's a bit of a Sunday hangover for me, but I got up Monday morning, I'm like, oh, I'm so Eeyore. I'm like, oh, I'm really good. Yeah, great. And so I had said to our God, I'm not grateful for anything. He says, I'm seeing that. I said, what do I do with that? Well, I seem to hear him say to my spirit, why don't you just start with what you're thankful for instead of what's going wrong? And maybe that'll change your attitude a bit. No, that won't do it, was sort of my response. But then you step into it, and I looked up, and then there's this mountain freshly dusted with snow and the sun coming off it. Start there with creation, right? There it is. But then go down the list of things that you're grateful for. It's spontaneous. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, for my wife, my children, the ministry I get to do here at Crossroads. It actually falls into these concentric circles of relationships we've talked about before. Thank you, God. Thank you for my wife, my kids, my siblings, my parents, all those pieces. And we might praise God with music and singing, as Paul encouraged us to do when he said to the Ephesian church, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, as we do here each Sunday morning, but also as you might do on your own, right? Anytime, anywhere, in the shower, in the car, on your walk, singing on your own, with or without music. It ascribes worth to God because we are singing about him and actually to him, even if we sing a little bit off key. Now, okay, wow, he's already up there. Okay, so do you know who that is? Who watches the NBA here at all? NBA basketball. Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, so let's skip this video. It would have been a phenomenal illustration if anyone watched basketball. No, we'll watch it because it's funny. And it's 30 seconds. James Harden is correct. Who would have been the runner-up to the MVP of the NBA? Who is Steph Curry? Steph Curry and James Harden are both believers, by the way, are men of faith. So they've done this commercial for Foot Locker. It's 30 seconds long. In context, I'm prepping you by saying this is all about singing, and God accepts all of our singing. So if you could, do you have it? Can we maybe, Russ, can you turn the lights off so we can see it a little bit better? And I hope, so Kaylee showed this commercial to me this week, and I laughed my head off, and I thought, I'm just going to show it to you.
James, please don't do this.
I just had the best year of my career. I gotta keep things fresh.
Well, then let's just go to Foot Locker. They got all the fresh new gear.
But I have real talent.
Can I get playback?
Okay.
I wear my shirt open so you see my chest. Girl, I work so hard.
is that me?
I know, eh? I know. Too funny. Like, wow. So, hey. God does not care if you sing like that. I mean, your neighbor might, right? Like this morning. So you might want to check in with him and say, is that my voice? Yeah, but God's okay with whatever you bring terms of song. Second way we might describe worth to God is through meditation. As described by J.I. Packer, pretty famous theologian, it is meditation, the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and ways and purposes and promises of God. This kind of worship is a thoughtful mulling over the nature and the work of God. The psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God." Stillness and quiet reflection, wow, it's pretty hard to do in this culture of noise. Sound surrounds us and competes with the inner voice of God's Spirit. We need to turn off our TVs and tablets and phones. We need to find a quiet spot pretty regularly to just commune with God, just as, again, Jesus our Lord was in the custom of doing. It might simply be a matter of taking some time, 10 minutes, to reflect on our days and apply to ourselves the knowledge of God at work in our lives and to give thanks. It might also simply be a matter of taking some time, like 10 minutes, to chew on what we had previously called the milk and the bread of the Word of God, as the Lord instructed Joshua to do just as he was about to head into the promised land leading the Israelites, as is recorded in Josh chapter 1, 8. We won't take 10 minutes, but here's what we are going to do, and it's a little unconventional for us, but we're going to do it anyway. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to, or open your Bible app to, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to take us through what I'm going to call a micro meditation, and boy, is it going to be micro. Like 3 minutes micro. So I'm going to get my Bible, my B-I-B-L-E. It's the book for me. Who knows that song? I love it. I did not grow up with that song. I grew up, as you know, many of you, in a Catholic church. So when I heard that song, I thought, that is golden. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, so here's what I'm going to say to you. Sorry, I forgot to prep. So this is what I recommend. If you're wondering, how do I read the Bible? Okay, so left to right, first of all. And then secondly, I would say have some kind of plan, right? So pray, then read, then reflect on what you've just read. And I would stop reading when you've run into something that's a sense you have of God saying something specific to you. Revealing, I am having a hard time with my mic today. Revealing something about his character or nature. That's when I'd stop reading. So it might be 2 verses, it might be 20 verses, it might be a chapter, it might be a paragraph, right? And then form some kind of response. Here we go. So let's pretend that you are reading by yourself at home in your quiet spot. You've taken 10 minutes and you've said, I'm going to totally do this because Pastor Rob's going to call later in the week and ask if I did it. Wouldn't that be funny? It might happen. In the beginning, God created that. Well, I didn't pray. See, already, I already did not do what I said I was going to do. Let's pray. Father, indeed, not just for this illustration or to make a point, but that you would open our eyes and our hearts to something that you might tell us about you here that we maybe needed to be reminded of, or that maybe even new information to us about you. Who you are and what you're like and how you do things. Thanks. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen. Well, then we'll read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do we stop there? Do we believe that? You can stop reading right there. What does that mean? Did he? I don't think that's right. Is that right? Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Wait a second. Right? Okay. So I'm going to stop there just to illustrate the point, right? It was formless and empty. So what are you saying here? Is this writer saying that God made something out of nothing? Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. So a point of application for me, immediately when I read two verses into Genesis, we could have made more application even in verse 1. So now we're thinking about this passage. Would be, when has God done something in my life, taking nothing and making it something? And how many times does that story happen in your life? Or worse, you might say, it was going real bad and you made something pretty good out of it. You can journal that. You can pray that. And you're 10 minutes in and you know a little bit more about your God. And now in your day, and I would recommend you do this in the morning. It sets the table for your day. Now you're going to be looking for, what is God up to? What's he making something out of nothing? And how might I partner with him in that? This is going to be pretty cool. I am going to investigate what God is up to through the day, and I'm going to go, oh, there it is. And I'm going to do something about it. That's a pretty cool calling for people, isn't it? Or at least I think it is. All right. One of my favorite authors, Mark Buchanan, and I'm going to do a shameless plug for our Bible college. Oh, boy, Dougie. Mark Buchanan is a Canadian guy who used to pastor here in Duncan, B.C., actually. We'll be coming to Columbia Bible College this March 16th for a public lecture titled, and I love this title. When I saw it, I thought, this is a good title. Don't just do something, stand there. I think this might be the spirit of praise and meditation that we all might do in the name of Jesus Christ, which is to be rooted in praise and meditation, then act accordingly. 3, we ascribe worth to God through the choices that we make. What are we doing for time here? Yeah, we're going to skip that point. That's a good point, though. It's worth knowing that point. But maybe some other time. James Harden. Okay. The sum of that is, every choice you make that is aligned with what the Bible's told you to do, you're saying, I choose your word over my will. That is an act of, you're ascribing worth to what God has said over what you think or feel. 4, we ascribe worth to God by serving him. There is actually another word in the Bible for worship which conveys the idea that worship is religious homage expressed in service. And we actually get a sense of this double meaning for the word worship in the story of Moses. I'm sure it's other places, but this is certainly in evidence here. Quiz time, folks. Are you ready? Here we go. Multiple choice. Raise your hands when you think you have the answer. Moses asked Pharaoh to let his people go. You know the song, Let My People Go. Yeah. To take a 3-day journey into the desert to A, hold a festival, B, offer sacrifices, C, worship God, D, all of the above. Yes, David? David, you are correct, and I wish I had a prize. Be encouraged that you are brilliant, and that is sort of reward all its own. Correct. Hold a festival to God. Offer sacrifices to the Lord. This is all chapter 5. It says it right there. Worship God, chapter 7. All of the above. But the word for worship in this context could also be rendered religious homage expressed in service. This, in part, actually, is why Pharaoh rejected Moses' request. He didn't actually, in the end, want to lose such a profitable workforce. But even more grievous was his objection to give this worship force a weekend off to hold a festival, to offer a few sacrifices, to worship their God. Because why? I'll tell you why. Because Pharaoh thought of himself, and he demanded that others think of him the same way as God. So he said in Exodus chapter 5, who is the Lord? Never heard of this guy. The Lord I am. That I should obey him and let Israel go. I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to work. As if to say, they worship. They work for me. Worship has this component of service. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew chapter 20. So, sometimes, don't just stand there. Do something. We ascribe worth to God when we do the kinds of things that Jesus would do. Again, like our choices, our behavior, when it is aligned with what God would suggest, not because he's a taskmaster or a circus ringmaster, but because he adores us and wants best for us and instructs us along those lines so that when we respond that way, you will know this to be true in your inner being. Life goes better that way. Our question this morning, how do we ascribe worth to God? Through praise, meditation, the choices we make, and the service that we provide to people. That's how. May you continue to worship our God when you leave this place, and may it become more and more reflective and active, because there's component pieces, both.